Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Yeah, we got a preacher I like to listen to, and he's got a common phrase he uses all the time is, what God creates, Satan counterfeits. Yeah. And God has created it and within the bounds of marriage, but you know, Satan takes it, twists it, perverts it.
Yeah. And his vision plans in the Bible, Satan's the steal, kill, and to destroy.
Right.
And you're absolutely right, Justin. When I was in college, I started getting my first credit cards. Credit card companies wanted me to sign up for a credit card. I'm 18 years old. And what I found out is most credit card companies and cigarette companies go after young men. They don't go after 40, 50-year-old men because they believe they can get you hooked on cigarettes at a young age. They got you for life.
Yep.
They can get you hooked on debt. They have you for life. And the sexual industry is the same way. It's going after our young people. If I can get you hooked, I'm probably going to have you for life. And this, you know, the porn industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. Yep. And they're hooking men. And so this the lure is fatal. And we're going to talk a little bit about the loss of this. I want men to think about the end and what will happen if this if they fall into sexual immorality, because most people don't think about that. They think about the moment. But so for anybody's listening, especially some of our spiritual leaders and pastors, which it seems to be pastors falling, there's immoral failures all around us. I heard a podcast the other day about since there's a lot of this openness about pastor struggles, there's a lot of congregants that no longer trust pastors. So help us with this. Help our listeners with it. How can spiritual leaders engage offensively in today's sexualized culture?
If we don't have a plan or a game plan or a plan of action, Satan already has that plan of action. If we're not, you know, he's doing what he can to effectively destroy the man, to destroy what is precious, what is valuable. That's not only his life, that's also his wife, his children, grandchildren, even to put them in a mindset that's going to, you know, affect them because of his previous sexual sin. That's kind of my story, where I was sexually active before I met my wife, and it hindered us. So he had an offensive plan to, you know, not only affect my life, but affect Nicole's life, to affect our children. And so what I've had to do is to go on the offense and plan. You know, I think we can say that pastors have to prepare for this, but I think it goes back to a manhood issue. It's a fatherhood issue. And if fathers aren't preparing their sons for battle and preparing them for offensiveness, we can't blame the senior pastor for this. It ultimately is a manhood issue. And if we're going to be, you know, passively engaged, well, the enemy's already going to win because we're passive. Yeah. We're not offensive. And so I would just say to every listener out there, I don't care if you're a senior pastor or if you're a dad, you had to own this. You got to own it in your own personal vitality and, you know, vigilancy and being vigilant. And at the same time, you know, you got to help your teammates, your family, and also your sons and your son-in-laws and, you know, your girls, protect your girls. And because of the rise even taking place in social media with more girls being more aggressive and, you know, more and more young men being passive, which is a nightmare. If she's more aggressive, yeah, and he's passive, he's already in trouble. He's just,
yeah, that's right.
The enemy has got him taken care of and he's eliminated. So I think, you know, I would say to every listener on this podcast today, we've got to own it personally. And then how do we own it together to really win the game? And, you know, Satan's putting points on the board early on, and he's already got that, you know, pathway laid out. And we as men, the spiritual leaders, we got to help win in this area. I mean, the multi-million dollars you mentioned earlier are just scores of numbers in terms of dollars being spent, and it rivals the comparison of the money being spent in Major League Baseball, NFL, and NBA. They don't even
That's
compare
right.
to the number of dollars being spent on pornography.
Yeah. Combined, I think, yeah, last I heard, even all those big sports, NBA, NFL, Major League combined don't equal the dollars. And,
right,
and that's why we have to be active in this, because if I told every man listening that someone's going to break in your house tonight, and here's what they're going to do, every man would have a plan a plan of action. They're going to wait up. They're going to set a trap. They're going to do something. And I'm telling you, we're letting the scriptures inform us on this. Satan's after you in this area. You got to have a plan of action. And I think you're right on men taking ownership of this. And I think I would answer that question on how to engage offensively, and that I wish men would seek more help in this area. Yeah. Not just from other men, but from their wives as well. So I just give you some practical tips here. There's not a single thing on any device I have that my wife Molly can't look at and doesn't have an access code to. So I got a lot of security things on my phone because we have so much church information, financials, and our servant keeper and those type of things. So I have to have a password, but it's very simple and my wife knows it. And at any point in time, she can grab my phone. And I've done that to my boys. My boys are 17 years old and they've had a cell phone for 1 year now. They got a cell phone when they were 16. And that sounds so terrible. And for them, it is so bad. Because you know how your kids say, well, everybody's doing it, and you know everybody's not doing it. But when they say everybody in my class has a cell phone, they mean it. Everybody in their class has a cell phone. But I want to protect my boys from the enemy's snare, from this lure that is fatal. And so we were very cautious in when to give them a phone. But they also have parameters on their phone. They have no social media. They have no internet. And they also know that at any point in time, without asking them, without giving them a warning, we say, hey, give us your phones right now. And they're always like, why? You know, but at any point in time, they know we can grab it and check it and look at it. So they don't have access to any of that stuff. And that's just, I heard, literally, I drive by elementary schools and middle schools every day, and you wouldn't believe the amount of kids walking with their heads down. When as a man, as a leader, when you're giving your children unlimited access to the internet and to social media, they are going to look at stuff.
Yeah.
That lure is enticing. It's deceptive. It's fatal. I think it was Russell Moore one time, and take that with a grain of salt. You know, I'm just telling you what he said. He said one time, he said, when you give your child, your 8-year-old, your 9-year-old, a device that you don't monitor, you're giving them pornography. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So guard those issues in your own life, in your marriage, and get other men to help you.
And unfortunately, shame keeps us from talking about it. You know,
it does.
I think it's easier to talk about being an alcoholic than it is to be talk about being addicted to pornography.
But why is that? Why? You know, let me say this before you answer that question, Keith. When you came at our church to do a What's at Stake night, you asked a question. You may be able to phrase it correctly. I'll paraphrase. I think you were asking questions for men to stand up, and one of them was: so you have any sexual sin, any pornography addictions at all? Have you been viewing or looking at anything inappropriate? And we had, I don't know, 300 men there, and I don't know the exact numbers, but it was probably less than 5 men stood up.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. So many men lied that day, but there's so much shame and guilt. Yet every man comes. We all come to the cross on equal footing. Right. We can't out-sin the cross. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. But why, if we all know it's a big struggle, why does so much men have shame in this area? Just confessing, dragging what's in the dark into the light. There's freedom in that.
Well, those men, let me say this, they weren't even standing up for themselves. The way that we orchestrated it that night, guys checked that on a box, and then the cards were passed out to other men. And so when a man stood that night for that, they were standing because somebody else marked it on the card. Not only were their men not willing to stand up for that, they weren't even willing to mark it on a card. An anonymous card. And so if they won't do that, they're certainly not going to stand up for it.
Yeah, that's right.
I think what happens is the silence has created the shame, and we're not comfortable having this conversation because we don't have the conversation. We don't talk about it and discuss it. And, you know, I just recently taught this lesson again, and it's been a few years before I taught it last time. And man, I thought, man, I got to teach this at least 2 or 3 times a year to myself, you know, and probably every week to myself. And the biblical principles need to be set in my mind where they're, I'm using this to meditate and think through, and that I am thinking that this lure is fatal. You know, ultimately, if I'm not careful, this loss is going to be final. Not that I lose my life, and you know, I would potentially lose my testimony, not even, you know, there's so much more that I could lose, and it will be final, but I can't have a, you know, a redeeming God that speaks back into me. But the consequences are real, and they're costly. And, you know, I don't know that we have this kind of conversation enough. The warnings, yeah. You know, we're trying to warn men, you know, in our own personal experience, this is what's cost me in sexual sin, and talk about those things so other young men can hear that, or even older men can hear that, to try to, to try to find a way to win.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things, that keeps men from talking about it is it will change how people view them. And so, you know, another person's perception of, you know, how people see me. And so that fear that, like, I'm not going to be seen the same way, that I've got it all together. Like, I want people to think that I have it all together. And so I think that fear drives men to just kind of keep it in the shadows and not bring it to the light, like Keith said.
Yeah. Truth, James 5:16 tells us this: silence doesn't bring healing, but confession and community do. And when we're open and transparent, you know, if we're silent, we think, you know, in a demonic way, we think we're okay. If I just don't share this, I think I can manage the sin or control this. But in reality, you're not free. You're tied up and you're in bondage. But when you confess and you're in community with men you love and trust, and they love and trust you, I mean, just the strength of getting it out to the light, man, the light comes on. We can see, we can deal with the issue, but you can't deal with it if you don't, you know, confess it and get it out there. Yeah.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you. We want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.